everyone. Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Fools. My name's Jesse. We got LSA and Brandon here. What do you guys think after week five?
What a mess week five was.
But the tight ends are back.
Yeah. Wow. Exciting.
Can't wait to talk more about that.
Well, let's get right into it, shall we?
Oh, son of a... That's going to leave a mark.
Injuries and news. Talking about tight ends. Travis Kelce. I wonder if Taylor Swift is tending to his every need right now.
She's probably already out.
He has a low ankle sprain is what they think it is. He did come back into the game, caught a touchdown, so I think he's going to be all right, but just something to monitor.
Yeah, short turnaround. They play Thursday night. So, yeah, I'd be interested to see kind of what that looks like. But, yeah, who do they go to if Kelce doesn't play? That was a scary moment for a while when he was hurt. Just you're like, I don't know who the Chiefs are going to turn to now.
Yeah, I mean, he's without him. We saw it, right? Week one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little iffy. Justin Jefferson, hamstring. He is still in the evaluation process.
Yeah, I saw something today. He was highly unlikely to play this week.
Yeah.
So. I wouldn't count on him. Hamstrings are tough.
So what do you think about Jordan Addison? Is he going to...
We'll save it for later.
All Ooh. Right. There we go. Hot take coming at you. I don't know if it's that much of a hot take, but Daniel Jones, neck injury.
That guy was getting pounded, man. Yeah. Week after week, he's just taking a beating. He's going to get hurt, you know? I mean,
he did.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know how serious it is, but I mean, it's your neck, so it's...
And he had a neck injury a couple years ago, too, and they're kind of comparing this to that. But, yeah, he was just taking a beating every single week, like you mentioned. And, yeah, something was bound to happen, and it's unfortunate for him, but not surprising, to say the least.
Deshaun Watson has been out still. He's still day-to-day, so.
Yeah, probably a lot of massages trying to get right for this week. We'll see.
Wandale Robinson, concussion. He's in the protocol, so we'll see what happens there. I thought he was going to be good, and then he was out pretty early, right, in this game?
So he's going to be out this weekend also then.
Well, it seems
that, per usual.
Yeah, one game seems to be the concussion unofficial protocol. James Conner, knee. Any updates there?
Yeah, I'm not sure. He came out of the game, never went back in. He came out early in the first half. Yeah, I'd be curious to see what that looks like. Moving forward, but yeah, again, too early in the week to know definitively on whether or not he'll play this week.
Another concussion, Tank Dell in the protocol, and then here's another big one. Anthony Richardson came back in, looked really great this game, and then had an AC joint sprain. Could be 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's a big one. He was definitely one of the top quarterbacks, top rookie quarterback this year, him and CJ Stroud. Yeah, it's a big loss for Indianapolis. They'll turn to Gardner Minshew for the next month. But he was, you know, one of those players that was super exciting to watch, but definitely was injury prone. We've seen, I think we're talking about his third injury already this season. He's only finished one game. So again, not surprising, but you really want to see him develop, and hopefully he comes back at full strength in about a month.
Mo Alie-Cox, another concussion. Seems to be happening quite a bit, but it's good. They're catching him and going through the protocol. I nobody knows what the protocol is, right?
Like I'm sure never... you can look it up.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm not sure.
It's not a secret.
It feels like it is. Zay Jones, knee injury. Aaron Jones, I know you had him, I'll say, in your lineup and didn't have a pivot option.
No, because he played last week, even though he was very limited, 4 touches, I think it was. And so he played, and you figure if he was able to play last week, but he didn't get a lot of action, that means they were like, okay, maybe he's not quite ready yet. But so all the reports were saying he was good to go this week. He was good to go this week. And because he played a little bit last week, I was like, oh, yeah, he's good to go. It turns out today they decided he is not good to go. What was it, like midday today? The report went out that he's not expected to play, and by then it was way too late.
Yeah, definitely a late scratch, kind of a surprise, but you know, let the fools, you know, do what the fools do and not have alternative options ready to go, and that's the risk on Monday night.
So I had a Davante Adams who was questionable. Again, they thought he was going to play. I picked up Romeo Doubs just in case, and you know, the game's still on. We're recording this Oh, and there was just an interception in the end zone.
Let me defend myself a little bit here, though. In our league, we have this rule, which totally makes sense, where if you have a player on your bench and then like you're in a situation like this where you need somebody on Monday night and you don't have anybody, you're not allowed to drop a player who's on your bench who like whose team has already played. Because then you could be like, oh, this guy didn't do well and he's not doing well. I'm just going to drop him and pick up somebody because you need him. So we're not allowed to do that. That makes sense.
Most leagues like that, yeah.
Well, yeah, but in this case, I have two guys on my bench that are on IR, and I was like, oh, maybe I could just drop one of these guys because they weren't going to play. Even if their teams played, it's not like they were playing, you know? It's not like somebody missed out on something because I was holding on to them or, you know, something weird. But then I found out today that even though they're on IR, I'm still not allowed to drop that person because their team has already played. Again, not that they were going to make a difference because they're on IR and they're probably not even practicing, but it doesn't matter. In our league, you still cannot drop that to pick up somebody else for the game.
Yeah, just make sure you know your league rules, you know your constitution, you know...
Which is a stupid rule. I get the active player part, the PUP or the IR. Like, that doesn't really make sense, but...
Yeah, I mean, we have an 8-man league, so we have a little bit stricter rules, you know, than maybe some other leagues. But hey, that's the way it goes. So make sure you know your lineup. Anyway, Aaron Jones was out. I don't think he would have done enough to get you. You were down by a lot of points, right? So
Aaron Jones is a difference maker, man. Last year or the year before, I don't remember. I was down by a lot, and I was in a Monday night, and I was like, "There's no way I'm going to win." And he scored 4 touchdowns, and I ended up winning because he scored over 30 points. I was down 48 points, so I doubt that he would have scored 48 points, but you never know, especially the way this game is going. Very low scoring, and Aaron Jones can run. He's obviously way better than Dylan, and Dylan got a touchdown today, so Aaron Jones, again, is a difference maker, and you can never, you know, give up hope when he's on your in your lineup.
Breaking news. The Raiders have just won a football game. I just thought I'd throw that out there. It's their second win of the season.
I finally go against them in my pick'ems, and of course they win.
I'm sure you guys know by now we're recording this.
I was thinking that they were playing against Aaron Jones, though, and that's why I took Green Bay, because I was like, oh, Aaron Jones is going to run all over them.
He's a difference maker.
Double whammy.
Double whammy. Yeah.
Last one here is Devon Achan, knee injury. Something to monitor. I think he's going to be okay, but...
I think so. McDaniel had a press conference today, and he's great in press conferences. You never listen to him. He's phenomenal, and he's funny, and he didn't seem to be too big of an issue. But, yeah, Achan did come out of the game late in the fourth quarter, did not return. But, again, they were up by 15, so there was no need for him to come back in. But keep an eye on him.
And who are they playing next week?
Carolina.
So, like, technically they could give him a week off.
They could. The crazy thing, he's averaging 12 yards a carry.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Yeah,
it's funny because you look at his stat line and it looks like it's a like receiver stat line because he's like 12 for 140. It's like those are receiver numbers, not running back numbers.
Yeah, he is good. Here's some other people that were good.
Awesome!
Number one quarterback of the week. It finally happened. Justin Fields. 282 yards, 4 touchdowns, another 57 on the ground.
Didn't it happen last week too? Wasn't he number one last week too? Yeah, he was.
He was number one. All right, there you go. It continued. 32, 37 points the last couple weeks here. So, you know, he's 94% rostered. I mean, you have had him. You've been waiting for this, and I think they're finally figuring out that offense over there. And the crazy thing is only 57 yards on the ground. He passed the ball. You'll find out who he passed it to when we get to the receiver portion of this. But he was the number one of the week. Number two, Brock Purdy, 33 fantasy points, 252 yards, 4 touchdowns. Again, San Francisco. And, you know, I think Brock Purdy doesn't get a lot of credit because they have so many good people. You just talk about Debo and you talk about Christian McCaffrey and you could talk about...
All he has to do is not turn the ball over.
Exactly.
That's it.
And he just has to be pass safe. It to his guys, you know. So good for him. Well done. Josh Allen, Jared Goff. And then, here we go. The number five quarterback on the week is 5% rostered. That is Desmond Ridder with 329 yards, a touchdown, and then another touchdown on the ground. You'd think you'd have more touchdowns with 329 yards passing, right?
They just don't throw the ball that much. Even the touchdown was a crazy one to the running back, to Bijan Robinson.
Wide receiver of the week. This is who Justin Fields passed the ball to. DJ Moore, 230.
And only him.
Yes, 230 yards, three touchdowns, 45 fantasy points.
Yeah, he was the only receiver on the Bears to catch a pass in that game. It was unbelievable.
Crazy. Yeah, so target the Washington defense. We'll talk about that later also. Jamar Chase, hey,
finally
Cincinnati.
Showed up.
The Bengals are back, I think. They looked really good.
They did.
Joe Burrow looked good. He was running around. He was scrambling. Yeah, I think that was a good sign to see, and I think it's kind of all systems go now for the Bengals.
192 and three touchdowns. Tyreek, of course, he's up there, continues to do Tyreek things, 181 and one. And then George Pickens is up there on the board, and his second good week of the season with 130 and one right there. So yeah, get those guys. It was a lot of the higher players this week were players that you'd
expect.
There,
like
yeah.
Things are finally starting to settle down. All the craziness is over. Yeah. Well, I mean, there was a lot of upsets in general this week.
Although you wouldn't think DJ Moore would be number one, I guess. So that there you got that.
Well, I mean, there's like still the couple of randos, but you know, for mostly it's like finally starting to like, oh yeah, these guys are back now.
Yeah. Running backs of the week. Here we go. Here's some new ones here. Travis Etienne, 32 fantasy points, 136 yards rushing, two touchdowns, 48 yards receiving. Yeah, he did good. And then Zach Moss, not Jonathan Taylor. Zach Moss, 165 and two on the ground. He looked pretty
good,
too. I
bet a lot of people are upset over that. Because they either benched him for Taylor or they benched him because somebody else had Taylor.
I mean, look, do you – and this is just one game, but we have a bigger sample size from Josh Jacobs. Do you think – okay, look, these running backs, they do everything they can to try to get these contracts, right? And then they hold out, but then they come back and they're not good. Like, is it because they haven't been working out? They haven't been with the team? They
yeah, it's
been,
like how you saw everybody else start the season, remember? It's like that's where they are. So, of course, they're going to start off and be rusty just like everybody else was at that time for the, you know. So, yeah, they're going to be rusty and it's going to show. Everybody else is like, you know, mid-season form for the most part or getting to that and they're just starting off.
I feel like Josh Jacobs is just starting to get into his old self a little bit now. And then David Montgomery, my boy, 19 fantasy points, 109 and one, continues to be awesome. What about this one? Jaleel McLaughlin. I know he was a big waiver wire pickup. 68 yards on the ground, 21 through the air, and a touchdown. What do you think going forward with him?
He was fine. I think he looks much better than Javonte Williams does right now. He's explosive. Denver's a mess all around, so I don't see them keeping all of their players for the rest of the season. I think you could see them make a lot of trades in the as they kind of bottom out moving forward. So I think he's a guy, a young guy that could start seeing more and more work in that Denver backfield.
Are you the one that that called Russell getting benched at some point? Was
oh,
that
yeah.
You?
Jared Stidham's going to start a game in the next, I'd say in like early November at the latest. I think Jared Stidham's a starting quarterback, and I think Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton are on new teams. I think they both get traded.
Wow. George Kittle, number one tight end of the week, finally happened. 24 fantasy points, 67 yards, three touchdowns. Adam, in our league, he decided to bench George Kittle, which you just can't do, man. You just can't do because he has games like this.
Yeah, he's going to score 20 points. He's going to score 2 points next week, but he's going to score these 20-point games where you got to live with it, right? Because even the alternative options aren't very good either, so you just
Well, he went play with Hunter Henry, who had been, I mean, kind of like everybody else. He had like a couple of 10-point games, and so he was like, oh, well, he's doing better, but yeah, he's not.
Yeah, but think about it, especially being in our league, an 8-man league, you have to have that boom or bust, you know? So Hunter Henry could get you 15 points, but this is what George Kittle can do.
Especially with a quarterback that keeps getting that keeps getting benched.
Dallas Goedert, 18 points. And this one, here's the one that you wouldn't recognize, but this year it's going to be up there. Sam Laporta, man. He is killing it. 16 fantasy points, 47 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Can we go back to Goddard for a second? So yeah. He had 18 points here. He had 8 points the first 4 weeks. So a big breakout game for him. Again, if you were patient, catch him in your lineup, you got rewarded. But this was the return of the tight end week for sure. But, yeah, Laporta, he's been great. Had a couple touchdowns in this game. Super solid. He's been the best of the rookie tight ends. There's been quite a few of them. He's definitely far and away the best one. Super solid performance for him with Amon-Ra St. Brown not playing this week.
Let's play a little game. Who's the number one tight end so far through five? Well, I think this is 4 weeks. I don't think this takes into
probably him. This week. Probably Laporta.
Sam Laporta, correct. Who's number two?
Kelsey.
Kelsey, yeah.
Cole Kmet.
Who's number for the 1 week that he had. Yeah. One big week. Okay.
Number three, Mark Andrews. 4, Travis Kelce, George Kittle. So, I mean, yeah, like just one, that's, it's a boom or bust, man. That's kind of how it goes with tight ends. All right, let's move on over to kickers. Our favorite, Greg Zuerlein from the Jets against the Broncos.
Is that how you say that?
Points.
Zuerlein?
Is it a steak? Zuerlein?
Zuerlein. Would you like it?
Can I get the Zuerlein special today, please?
Medium rare.
18 fantasy points for you. And then the defense of the week, I think everybody knows, New Orleans against New England. They just shut them down. I picked New England in my pick'em, but that was the wrong decision.
I did not. Yeah, we're talking about Belichick. Is he done? He's looking like he's done.
So I heard an interesting conversation today, and it was about like the all-time wins record. So he's second right now behind Don Shula, and he's like 18 behind, I think. And so, like, with this Patriots team, and they don't look like they have anything the next couple of years, not sure if he can get there. And then the guy in third behind him is Andy Reid, who's going to win 12 games every year with Mahomes. So it's interesting to see, does Belichick, does he go somewhere else? Does he stick it out with the Patriots, even though he knows he's going to get caught at some point if Andy Reid sticks with Mahomes? So very interesting. But, yeah, I can't imagine it's fun coaching that Patriots team right now.
Mac Jones got benched again.
Again, yeah.
I didn't hear, but you know, the last week it was not because, you know, they wanted to put somebody else in. It was just, and so I don't know what did they say about this week. Did he say anything about that?
I forget what he said, but he always has those press conferences where he just repeats his answer over and over again, and they ask about something. And he just said,
I
thought it gave us a better chance to win.
I don't get fined.
And Zappy didn't do great either. So,
and here's the thing, is it's not necessarily their fault. The line's been bad. There's zero skill players that are any good around them. It's just a bad situation. They've lost their two best defenders for the season. So I don't see it getting better anytime soon.
All right. Let's move to the other side.
You blew it!
These guys certainly did. Mac Jones, here we go again. Just talked about it, but he was on here last week. He had negative points, and he still has negative points. Negative 4 points. As a matter of fact, he may have negative points for the season. I don't even know.
He will not be a starter next year.
One fumble,
he might not
sacks.
Be a starter like by the end of this season.
Yeah, he's not doing well.
And isn't it his contract up?
I don't think so. I think he's in his third year. So it's usually first round picks have a 5-year contract. So I think he's got 2 more years.
He's not
two more disappointing.
Not
years.
In negative points for the year, so that's good. Lamar Jackson, I had him on my team. He had a rough week. 5 fantasy points, 4 sacks, an interception, a fumble, no touchdowns.
That was very unexpected.
Yeah. So yeah, I got a good Lamar stat. He was bad, but this is probably part of the reason. So Ravens receivers had 7 drops. That's the third most since 2017, including 2 drops in the end zone and 2 more on throws 20 yards or more. So tack on 2 touchdowns, tack on 40 more yards, you know, through the air, and all of a sudden that game looks a lot different. So,
and they were bad drops too.
Bad drops. I saw had one in the end zone just right to him.
Aguilar, which is Aguilar.
Yeah. So as bad as his numbers look, they're a little bit deceiving based on how bad the receivers were.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about Lamar. He'll be fine. It was just an off game for him, an off week. Wide receiver Justin Jefferson, I mean, he got hurt, but Was it closer to the beginning or the end of the game?
He got hurt in like the late third quarter.
Yeah, I thought it was closer to the end. So he had 2 fantasy points up to that point, only 28 yards. So wasn't doing a great job overall. But hey, look at other options in that offense because someone's got to catch the ball. C.D. Lamb, 4 fantasy points, 49 total yards. You drafted C.D.
I mean, it's the Cowboys. Yeah, you know, it's the Cowboys. So
they got rocked a little bit.
I mean, that's another guy who's in trouble in the hot seat is Dak Prescott.
Keeps doing what he's been doing.
Yeah.
Throwing interceptions. I think 3 straight.
Was it 3 this week?
3 straight possessions.
Yeah.
Running backs. James Cooks. James Cook.
What is it with you and names,
Maybe
man?
Maybe he cooks.
Is James
I don't know.
Cooking the sirloin?
for Alexander Mettinson?
James Cook, 2 fantasy points. Negative 4 yards rushing, 25 yards through the air. You have James Cook, right?
Yes.
He hasn't been great.
He's been doing okay. He just doesn't get the touchdowns anywhere. Anytime they're in like near the end zone, they put in Latavius Murray. So he does okay running the ball, but he never gets any looks anywhere near the goal line. And that's the problem with him. So then when he has a bad week on the ground, then it's extra bad because he can't even get a touchdown. So he's still okay. He's still good. He's a mid-tier guy. He's not like a must start depending on your situation. But I mean, he's still good. He's still going to get the job done most weeks. This week he didn't. You know, it happens.
Would you rather have James Cook or this next guy, Ramondre Stevenson?
James Cook every day, all day.
4 fantasy points, 24 yards rushing.
And again, that's one of those where it's not his fault. You know, the line isn't doing anything for him. There's no receivers there. Like, it's just a bad offense overall. And he's getting beat up.
I don't know. How did he have 4 fantasy points? Maybe he had a 2-point conversion. I don't know. That's weird. Tony Pollard, another one, didn't have a great week. 3 fantasy points, 29 yards on the ground, 35 through the air, 1 fumble. Do you have Tony Pollard?
I have him, yeah.
What do you...
Yeah, not worried. He's been interesting. 2 bad weeks back to back. The game against the Niners was tough. Obviously, they were getting the doors blown off of them pretty early. Kind of abandoned the running game. Dallas is weird because they haven't played like a real game yet. Listen to these scores. So they won 40-0, 30-10, lost 28-16. That was the closest game they've played. They won 38-3. They've lost 42-10. So there's no real game that they've played.
Yeah, but now say who it was.
Yeah, exactly.
For 4 quarters. So, I think we'll see better days ahead for this offense. They play the Chargers next week, and their defense isn't very good. So, curious to see where that goes, but... if they want to get better, they just got to get the ball to their best players, right? Get the ball to Tony Pollard, get the ball to C.D. Lamb. Play calling has been very questionable. So, we'll see where they go moving forward, but not concerned as a Tony Pollard owner.
Tight end face plant of the week, Tyler Higbee, 2 fantasy points, 2 receptions for 20 yards. So, yeah, there you have it. Let's move on to some waiver wire pickups. Which guys are you looking at? Maybe it's some of these. Matthew Stafford, quarterback, 222 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2-2-2-2. He's 57% rostered in Yahoo Leagues right now.
Yeah, that's a guy I like. We saw the return of Cooper Kupp this week, and he looked like his normal self. So now he's got 3 good weapons between Puka Nacua, Tutu Atwell. They're going to throw the ball a lot. They haven't run the ball very efficiently this season. So, yeah, I think we're kind of seeing the old Rams offense start airing it out. So, yeah, Stafford's certainly a viable bye week replacement as we start hitting more and more bye weeks coming up.
And I think they all had about the same amount of points, 2-2, Cooper Kupp, and
I think they were like 12, 11, yeah, like they were all around the same.
It was great because I have Puka, and I was a little worried. And even Tutu got in the end zone.
Yeah, I think we're going to start seeing more and more Cooper Kupp. Obviously, that's Stafford's number one guy. But Puka's still very viable as a starter. Tutu will start to see his kind of catches and things drop off. He got the touchdown, which kind of made his day look fine.
Deonta Foreman had no stats because he didn't play, but he's going to play because Chicago needs a running back.
Yeah,
right?
He's been a healthy scratch kind of most of the season, but Khalil Herbert got out. He's out for like a month. Rashawn Johnson, I think, has a concussion. I'm trying to remember who their other back is, but I think he might be hurt too. So it's like literally might be the Deontay Foreman show. So
yeah, he's going to be a big pickup, 7% roster.
Right? Yeah, and we've seen him be successful when he's had a lead role in the past.
Here's
good luck with this pronunciation.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And just let me know if you know.
I have no idea
who this is. Urami Demarcado.
Well, I know who he is. Just do you know what team he's on?
I wouldn't be able to tell you.
I only know because, yeah, I was watching the Cardinal game yesterday, and when Connor got hurt, he's the guy that came in. He actually looks pretty good. He's quick. They gave him a lot of work. He looked fine against
running back from Arizona.
Yeah, it's a you know, not a great offense, and I'm not sure if the Cardinals might be coming back down to earth now. They were kind of in every game earlier. They're going to start to get blown out more. I think they play the Rams this week, which could be interesting. But again, if you're desperate for a back, Connor's out. He's a starting running back that had some decent numbers yesterday, and you know, available in probably every single league.
Yeah, 1% roster. I don't know who has him. I guess people that can pick him up like during
right
the game.
Away, yeah.
Josh Reynolds, wide receiver from Detroit, 76 yards, one touchdown, 41% rostered. He's been doing some good stuff. You know, I mean, he's going to be a number two, number three, but definitely a pickup worth mentioning. And is Amon-Ra better, or is he still kind of on the fritz?
No, he was out. He didn't play this week.
I don't know what his
gotta wait. Yeah, we gotta wait till they start practicing.
Yeah, like
again.
I haven't heard an update.
So
on
it's kind of like a groin or pelvis, something like
yeah.
that area. So
I wouldn't be surprised if he missed another week.
Yeah,
and they've been rolling. I mean, they rolled without him, so yeah. they're very efficient on offense.
Josh Downs, Indianapolis, 97 yards, no touchdowns, but 9% rostered. So you know that 9 points is a little deceiving. If he gets to the end zone, that's a nice day right there. But 97 yards, and so Indy, I don't know, where do you see them with Minshew?
I actually don't mind it. Minshew is, I think, one of the more competent backups in the league. He might be a better thrower than Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson is a little more exciting, but Minshew's solid. I think when he came out, they held on and beat Tennessee yesterday. And so, yeah, Downs was a big part of that. And I was looking at the splits between Richardson and Minshew, and Downs had about an even, like 50 yards or something with each quarterback. So he's certainly the number two there behind Pittman, and he's had a really nice start to the season.
Curtis Samuel, 65 yards, one touchdown, 17% rostered. Yeah, I mean, I think it's worth a shot.
Yeah, he's been okay. Washington's been weird. They haven't really identified a number one receiver. They have Terry McLaurin. They have Jahan Dotson. They have Samuel. Tight end Logan Thomas had a good game on Thursday. So they're just kind of spreading their targets around, not really focusing on anybody. So you might see a different guy step up each week.
What do you think of Sam Howell? How's he looking?
He gets sacked a lot too. I think he's number two behind Daniel Jones this year. I mean, he had a nice game on Thursday, but again, that was just a ton of garbage time. He threw late. He's got good weapons, so there's certainly something there. And he runs a little bit too, but you know, maybe like a two quarterback league quarterback.
DJ Chark, 42 yards, one touchdown, 12% rostered. Carolina. I think he's starting to pick it up a little bit.
He is. I think the guy in Carolina that's been impressive is Adam Thielen. That guy just won't go away.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He's been unbelievable.
He's I
PPR
think he's,
leagues and things.
He's definitely rostered beyond belief. 87% for him. So
I think he started getting picked up.
Deservedly so.
A week ago or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he started showing up.
Target monster too over there. He had, 11 receptions, 13 targets this week. So, yeah. Tight end Cole Kmet. Chicago had a great week, 42 yards, one touchdown. Pretty much all of Chicago had a good week. He's 69% rostered, but again, he's the number two tight end on the year so far, so don't count him out. You know, you thought it was a one-hit wonder, but the way that this team's going, he could be good moving forward. And then Logan Thomas, 77 yards, one touchdown, only 15% rostered. So there's some tight ends for you. Don't bench George Kittle.
Don't bench any of the big names for these guys.
Even Kyle Pitts had his best game this week, too. This is the week of the tight end.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. He had more than like 2 points, right?
Like 80-something yards, yeah, which is like best game of his career.
All right, matchup time. All right, so where are we at on the matchups? This is where we at. I'm going to tell you right now. We were I was 9-11, and Brandon, you were 10-10, and Alessio 8-12, way back there in third place. But that could all change right now.
I think it's about to, if I remember correctly. Maybe so, not. Maybe not.
This past week, we'll do the games first, and then we'll go into the new scores. So we had Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Baltimore by 3.5 points. Baltimore lost. Pittsburgh won 17-10, and we all picked Baltimore.
So it's a really bad loss by Baltimore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, Lamar did not do a great job there. Cincy at Arizona, Cincinnati by 4.5 points. Cincinnati covered 34-20. Me and Brandon picked Arizona. I'll say you picked Cincinnati.
I said this was the get right game. I mean, I called it for Mixon, and it didn't quite happen for Mixon, but it happened for the entire team. So either way, good.
Next, we had Philadelphia at the Los Angeles Rams. Philly by 5. I picked the Rams, and you both picked Philly. And Philly covered 23-14.
Yeah.
I just needed one more score. I just needed one more score. Well done. New York Jets at Denver Broncos. Denver was favored by 2.5.
Why? Why?
No idea. They're so bad.
And we all picked the Jets, and the Jets beat them 31-21. So we all get the dub there. And then Dallas at San Francisco, that wonderful game. San Francisco by 3.5 points. Brandon, you decided I'm going to go against you guys and pick Dallas.
And I said, and we talked about it earlier, I said, I think Prescott's going to throw interceptions. I said he was going to throw 2. He threw 3. And San Francisco got it easy.
But at least it wasn't, you know, a beating. Oh, wait, 42-10 San Francisco. So yeah. Me and Eliseo win that one. All in all, let me go back to the other page here. I was 2-3. Brandon was 2-3 on the week. And Eliseo was 4-1. Which changes things up a little bit. I am 11-14 in third place, and you guys are tied at 12-13.
Yeah.
We're all not doing
it. Sounds
very
good.
Well.
It sounds good now.
We're all
I just
under,
got rolling.
Under 500.
So I did good here, but anything I put money
Why
on.
Why are you running?
I do not do
Why
good.
Why are you running?
What?
Don't run. Don't run, because I'm coming for you.
I don't even know what just happened. Okay.
I may be in the back, but I'm gonna chase you guys down. That's what I was for. So let's go over the games here. Denver at Kansas City. Denver is 1-4. Kansas City's 4-1. Kansas City by 10.5 points.
What do you think? Oh, Kansas City all day, man.
There's no way anybody's taking Denver. Just you should.
No way.
He's taking Kansas City. I'm taking Kansas City.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, be different.
Yeah, I want nothing to do with Denver. Nothing whatsoever.
Ever. Like.
Okay. Maybe this one shouldn't have been put on here. All right. We're all taking Kansas City.
You could have said -20, and I would have taken Kansas City.
Yeah. Maybe that's the better game. What's the line that, how high would it have to be for you to take Denver? Like, what's the number?
The over-under is 51.
Yeah, so because it's going to be all Kansas City.
No, they're saying if there's 10.5 points, they're saying that Kansas City is going to get like...
Yeah, the score's like 30-20 is like the predicted score.
But I don't know. I think...
It would have to be close to, if not 20 points. And even then, that's still close for me.
I think the numbers for me is like 23.5.
Yeah, there you go. 24. So 20, 25-ish, and I'd be like, all right, that's not going to happen.
I mean, you really bet money on that? I think I would do 18.
Well, look at what happened with Miami.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's...
So if Miami scored 70 on him and the Jets just scored 30 on him...
What do you think Mahomes is going to do?
He's going to score at least 40.
At least, right?
I guess that's true. Yeah. Well, all right. Well, I don't know what the heck Vegas is seeing that we're not, because that's...
Garbage time.
And Vegas knows,
It's going to
be
like
going to be up 17, late touchdown, cuts it to 10.
And then Mahomes takes a knee at the 1 instead of running it in.
All right, so...
So wait, are you going with Denver?
No, I'm not.
We tried.
New England at Las Vegas. This one's a little bit closer. Oh, New England is 1-4, and Vegas is now 2-3.
The worst games of the week here.
There were some bad games. this week. Vegas by 2.5.
All right, I'll go first. Let's see. We have the godfather, Bill Belichick, against one of his proteges, Josh McDaniels. I mean, that's a huge advantage for Bill Belichick, but his team's so bad. Give me the Raiders. -2.5 coming off of a big win at home. Yeah, I don't like either team, but I, you know, this one might be a 14-10 Raider win.
Yeah, like the game today was pretty ugly. Raiders and Green Bay, it was kind of not going anywhere for a long time for most of the game before there was an actual, you know, like, oh, it's a game now kind of a thing, kind of a feeling. So it's probably going to be the same next week. But yeah, the New England is so bad, like you said. I got to go with the Raiders again. I didn't go with the Raiders tonight, and that they won, so I got screwed over. And now against another bad team, then I'm going to go with the Raiders.
You know what? So I think Belichick's going to figure something out, and he's going to say, wow, we shouldn't pass the ball, and he's just going to run. And you can run on the Raiders. Just don't run Max Crosby's play, I guess. I don't know. But I don't know. I feel like the Raiders, they have these highs, and they just get pulled way back down to earth.
Oh, they could go up by 20 and then lose, you know, by a point or whatever.
Anything could really happen in this game, and it's kind of – but I'm just going to go against you guys because why not? I'm going to take New England.
Excellent. Beautiful. Excellent.
New England, the last two games, has been outscored 72-3.
Oh, can I change my pick?
Nope. Locked it in. That's why I saved that.
All right, next, Indianapolis at Jacksonville. They're both 3-2. Jacksonville by 4.5, over under 45.5. Me first. All right. It's just interesting because, you know, Indy is going to be starting Minshew, and that could make a big difference. I don't know if they're going to plan for that. Do they know what they're going to plan for? They've seen him a little bit. Pittman, I think, could be better in this. And then, of course, you have Jonathan Taylor, who's back, and he's going to have another week of practice in. And so, I don't know. Indy could be really good, but I think Jacksonville, they're kind of up and down. They're left and right. They're back and forth. It's one way or the other, and I think this is going to be an up week for them, so I think Jacksonville is going to take it. Also?
I wish you had picked the Colts. Like Brendan was saying, Minshew is a capable quarterback. I think he'll be fine. The team will do fine. They'll still be, you know, doing as well as they have been. But the Jaguars just started clicking. I feel like they just got it going. They just beat Buffalo. That's a huge game for them. They came off back-to-back wins. So they finally are getting it together, I think. And the confidence goes way up when you beat a team like Buffalo, who just beat a team like Miami. You know, so I think they're feeling good coming back from London, and they're ready to go, and they are going to take care of business against the Colts.
So where is this game?
Not London.
It's in Jacksonville, right? So yeah. not even a home game for the Jaguars. They're home in London. That's where they do their most their most damage. They just spent 2 weeks in London. Now they're coming back. Jet lag is real. Flying home from Europe is real. So I'm going to take the Colts and the 4.5 points. Again, Jacksonville put it together for 2 weeks in London. I think this is a letdown for them. They come home, and they may win, but they're not covering the 4.5. So I'll take Indy and the points.
But at least they can build a stadium in London.
Yeah, they should. They should.
Minnesota at Chicago. This one could be real fun. They're both 1-4, these teams, and you wouldn't think it. I mean, maybe you'd think it, but they have a lot of offense going around. 49 is the over-under.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, this is an over. Yeah. This is an over game.
Minnesota by 3.
Yeah, and this is Minnesota probably without Justin Jefferson. Chicago kind of on the up and up. I'm not necessarily a believer in Chicago. They've been much better the last couple weeks. I'm not a big believer in Minnesota either. I kind of want them to lose because I want them to trade Kirk Cousins to the Jets. That's my other hope for this season. I'm going to take... Wow. I'm going to say the Minnesota gets it together. Give me Minnesota -3. I don't like this one, but I'm going to take it anyways.
Yeah, like I was saying, this is definitely an over game. If you're going to bet that, it's the over because there's going to be zero defense in this game. So it could be exciting to watch, you know, because it's just going to be offense both ways. And but I agree with Brandon. I think Minnesota's going to take it because they got a little more firepower, I think.
man, I think this one could go either way. I think it's going to be a shootout. It's going to be a good game. It's going to be a high-scoring game. So if you got players on these two teams, then play them. But I like what Chicago's doing. I like how they're looking. And so I think they're going to pull it off. I think they'll actually win and, you know, just do more than cover the 3 points. So I'm going to go with Chicago. Last, Detroit at Tampa Bay. Detroit is 4-1. Tampa Bay is 3-1. Is that?
Yeah.
Did they have a bye week?
Bye this
week. Oh, yeah. Okay. 45.5 over under. Detroit by 3.
I like Detroit here because they're rolling. And as much as Tampa Bay is also, we were talking about how eventually their quarterback is going to find the ground, you know, and this is a perfect game to do it. He's going to get a lot of pressure from Hutchinson. It's going to be it'll be a closer game than well, I don't know. I was thinking like it could be. Never mind. It's going to be a closer game than I think would be expected. But I guess a lot of people have high expectations for the Bucs right now, which I don't. I still think they're going to, again, just fall flat on their faces at some point. And I think this is the week that they find out.
All right. Let's see.
That ended kind of weird, huh? I guess. Detroit.
I mean, this could be an interesting game. I do like Detroit. I think Tampa Bay could pull an upset here. But I don't like the 3 points is what it is. But you know what? I'll take Detroit.
Yeah, it's a clean sweep for me. This one, this line feels low. I think Detroit's a much better team than Tampa Bay. So the line being only 3 scares me a little bit just because what does Vegas know that I don't? But I'm still going to take Detroit as just the better overall team.
All right. It comes down to those mid 3 games right there. All right. You know what? Last year what we did, and we're not going to quite do the whole thing, but we'll do a little bit of it. So we had kind of a mock draft at this point in the season last year. And instead of doing a mock draft, let's just go around. What are some of the players that you've seen this year that if you had to redraft, you would kind of go after? It doesn't have to be first round. Doesn't have to be but just some of the players that have caught your eye or that you like to have on your bench right now, on your team that you're starting. Obviously, like Puka Nacua, nobody knew that, so nobody was going to actually pick him up. And I mean, like Cooper Kupp, let me ask you, if you have Cooper Kupp, is it worth it that you've had him on your bench this long?
Probably. I mean, he got back and he did fine. So the more games under his belt, the better he's going to be. So absolutely.
Yeah, I think it depended where you drafted him, right? If you drafted him as your first round pick, because it was before we knew the significance of his injury, then, you know, maybe you're struggling a little bit. But if you were able to draft him at value, get him in the, you know, third, fourth round or something in a draft that, you know, as you got closer to the season, kind of we knew the diagnosis and it was kind of a unknown how long it was going to be. He's going to see a special doctor. So, yeah, I think you're certainly happy if you have Kupp and, you know, he looks like he's back in form. So he's, you know, you got yourself a top, you know, 5 or 7 receiver.
Where would you draft Brock Purdy?
At the end of the draft. I mean, he went undrafted. I almost took him as my backup.
No. I mean, knowing like now what they're at. So I mean, like he's the number 5-6 quarterback on the year. So if we were to do a mock draft right now, where would you take him?
He would still be a second quarterback.
Yeah, he would still be a second quarterback.
I would take him in the top 10 at quarterback. But yeah, I think he's a mid-tier 12 to 15 quarterback.
And what about, well, I guess we can't ask about Anthony Richardson because he's hurt. Let's go over to this. So here's one that is kind of interesting. And I know he had a humongous game right now, but just from what you've seen, DJ Moore.
Same. I wouldn't take him early.
Mid-round, I feel like he could be like a wide receiver too. I mean, you're going to get Devontae, you're going to get Stephon Diggs, one of those big guys.
I'm not going to change like what I thought of him because of the one game, you know?
Okay.
It's like you got to see more, like, because you could be like, oh yeah, I'd move him way up to like a top whatever, but it's like you're basing it off one game. You don't know what's going to happen the rest of the way. If he had 3 big games like that, I'd be like, okay. But with one, I'm not going to change where I'm drafting him based on the one game.
Yeah, he's been pretty good this year overall. I'm not sold on it being more than just, playing Denver 2 weeks ago, playing Washington this past week on a short week. So, again, I just want to see more of it. But, again, he's been the number one option for Fields, who looks like he's getting better, but I'm still not completely sold that Fields is a outstanding passing quarterback.
What about this one? Adam Thielen. I mean, his usage, his targets are just off the charts. It's, you know, he may not be the best wide receiver, but he's getting those targets, which
He's catching a ton of balls. He's being super reliable. He's playing, on a bad team that they're coming from behind, so they're having to throw the ball. He's a good safety blanket for rookie quarterback Bryce Young. So, yeah, he's absolutely been solid. He's great, guy to throw in your flex or as a wide receiver three. He's been outstanding.
All these guys are obviously quite rostered. But just kind of a fun little thing to go through, go through your league and see who is doing well. Look at the points, look at the targets, look at the percentages, and kind of reevaluate and say, okay, if I were doing it right now, would I draft this person right here? And then it kind of gives you, you draft these huge names and you say, oh, I gotta keep them forever. Like Kyle Pitts. No, you can drop Kyle Pitts. I mean, sure, he had an okay game this week, but I would have dropped him by now. Yeah, no.
I never would have drafted him.
There you go.
I mean, yeah, I think it depends. There's a lot of factors, right? It depends on your league size. It depends what else is out there, who else you got. But yeah, if you have, there's a league where I think I drafted him and then I picked up Sam Laporta. So now it's super deep league, 20 players on roster. So I just have both of them because, again, he could be an asset for somebody at some point. There's also the chance, and I think this is something worth talking about too, is the trade deadline comes up at the end of October. And so there might be some teams that are willing to part with some guys. Maybe a guy like Kyle Pitts, right? In Atlanta, Jonnu Smith is like the number one tight end there now. So maybe they're like, well, this is a lost cause. Let's see if we can trade him somewhere. And all of a sudden he becomes, the tight end in, I don't know, somewhere else that needs a tight end that throws the ball a lot. So what if he got traded to like the Rams or something, right? So there's always that possibility too. I think the deadline's always around Halloween. So worth keeping an eye on some of these guys that may not have great roles with their current teams, but they could be on the trade block to potentially have an expanded role in a few weeks.
Would you draft Tony Pollard or Zach Moss?
Tony Pollard.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, Jonathan Taylor's back.
Yeah, I think the bigger question is how long do we think Zach Moss is
going to be relevant?
Yeah, like relevant, startable, playable. I mean, he's the lead guy by far this week. I think obviously Taylor starts to chip away. But how comfortable would you be playing Zach Moss this week, the following week?
It probably depends on your situation, but I say you keep going until he shows you, like, okay, he's done, because you could have another situation like this week, next week.
Let me get something a little closer. Tony Pollard or David Montgomery?
Like, who would I draft right now?
Yeah.
I would still take Tony Pollard.
I would take Tony Pollard just because he's the clear number one. And with the Lions, although he has been the clear number one, that wasn't a guarantee, and it still isn't. I mean, now Gibbs is hurt, so he's going to be out, but he's still like there's a two-headed beast there, So and Dallas, he's just the one guy.
Tony Pollard or Kyren Williams?
Tony Pollard.
Wow. All right. Tony Pollard or Bijan Robinson?
Tony Pollard.
I would probably take Bijan Robinson, but it's close.
Tony Pollard or Devon Achane?
Well, he didn't even play at the beginning. So
I would still probably take Tony Pollard just because Raheem Mostert's still getting work.
Yeah.
Achane's hurt a little bit right now. He obviously can't sustain 12 yards a carry for the rest of the season. That's incredible. But
and Jeff Wilson Jr. is going to be back
Wilson
at some
Jr.'s
point.
Wilson Jr. has been activated. Yeah. So, again, the workload is incredible, and he's awesome, and he's perfect on that offense. But I think I just like the stability more of Tony Pollard.
So all those guys I mentioned have more points than Tony Pollard. But that's what you do. Go down and just kind of reevaluate and see what you do. And if you keep saying that name, then, hey, keep him or try to trade for him, moving forward. Because to some people, a lot of those running backs may be worth more than Tony Pollard. So if you're looking to get him or you want him and you have one of the other guys, then, hey, that's a trade right there, right?
I think, yeah. So and a little bit more on that too, I think is just that sometimes you got to look at the situation, right? So somebody, yeah, like we talked about Zach Moss, right? He's up there. Sure, he's had a great start to the season, but that's going to fade. So I'd rather have, you know, Tony Pollard because he's going to continue to climb. So I think it's kind of about, you know, some guys may have gone off for a week. And so sometimes it's like, I'd still probably rather have CeeDee Lamb over a guy like DJ Moore, even though DJ Moore's, you know, been way higher. I think there's good weeks coming. Sometimes just talent wins out, situation wins out. And so you just got to, you know, keep that in mind. This is, you know, a 17-week game, a 16-week game, not just, you know, for the first 4 or 5 weeks.
All right, one more tight ends, your favorite. Would you draft George Kittle or Sam Laporta?
I would draft Sam Laporta just based on where you can get him in comparison to George Kittle.
Well,
I guess, is that the question? Like,
the question is knowing.
It comes to you in the sixth round, you need a tight end, and which one are you taking?
No, I mean, just, I guess the draft position doesn't really matter, but if you had to, so let's say.
Like you can only have one.
If you're drafting where George Kittle is, would you rather take Sam Laporta?
I would.
Because he has more points right now. He's getting
He's just getting more looks in general, you know? Like, and I, like we were talking about earlier, like Kittle is going to have these boom weeks. But I feel like Laporta is a lot more consistent, you know? So it might be smaller amount of points, but more often, more frequently, he's going to be more sustained, more
consistent. I think the answer to that might be just whatever your roster construction is. If your team is like really steady across the board, then maybe you just, you know, take a chance on Kittle because then those spike weeks are going to make you really good. Or if your team is kind of boom or bust, maybe you take Laporta to kind of help even those things out. So I think it kind of depends on the other guys on your roster, but personally, I think I'd rather take Kittle just for the big spike weeks because anytime you can get that at the tight end position, it's such a huge advantage.
Laporta or Hockenson?
Depends on Justin Jefferson's injury.
Okay.
I think I'd probably take Hockenson.
Hockenson has 39 targets to Laporta's 31, so he is getting more looks. He just doesn't have the touchdown.
Yeah, I would take Hockenson.
That's
a like pass first offense in comparison to Detroit. Right. So,
just go and reevaluate, check things out. We have a little bit of time before trade deadlines in our league, and you probably do in your league. So, now's the time to do it, man. It's week five going into week 6. Reevaluate your team, see where you are. If you're 1-5, you're not out of it. You're not 1-5 yet. It's 1-4. You're not out of it. And you just have to figure something out. All right, let's get to it. You get the balls to the wall, man. Balls to the wall. All right, last week I had Alan Lazard, Lizard himself.
Stonehands.
112 yards and 2 touchdowns. He had 33 yards. 0 touchdowns.
Yep.
All right. Brandon, you had Zach Wilson. You said this is the week he's going to ball out, 340 yards, 3 touchdowns. He had 199 yards, 4 sacks, and 0 touchdowns.
Yeah, I was bummed about that one because I also thought he was going to have a really good week and put him in a bunch of like daily fantasy. And that did not go well.
And you said Keaton Mitchell was going to have a great game. He was going to have 100 yards and 1 touchdown.
Yeah, yeah.
He had 82 yards. No touchdown.
What? He didn't play, man.
He didn't.
He's still on IR.
82 pretend yards.
Oh, God. Well, you know what? I did just as good as you, and my guy didn't even play.
All right. Who do we got this week? Who wants to kick it off?
Gave us a little bit of a spoiler, so
yeah. So to start off, I want to say that I really wanted to go with the quarterback this week, but I was like, well, that's, I don't know. I mean, it was Matt Stafford. I think he's gonna have a really good week, but I was like, that, I didn't know if you guys were gonna think that was too easy, Because who's he playing? He's playing like the
Arizona.
Yeah, Cardinals. And I'm like, oh, it's the Cardinals. He's going to go off. He's probably going to do 400 yards and four touchdowns or something ridiculous.
If you said something like that, I think that's okay. But you couldn't be like, okay, Matt Stafford, 250 yards and two
touchdowns. No, I was going to go crit. I was going to go balls to the wall.
I think that's my rule. Is it, if you pick like a known guy or like
he's got to go right.
It's got to be like,
it's got to be,
you
know, balls
like if you pick
to
Jamar
the
Chase
wall?
For 200 yards and three touchdowns, like, okay, I'm okay with that because that's more than normal.
Well, I was thinking of him, and I was going to go crazy like that. So just for the record, that's what I would have done, like 400 yards, four touchdowns. Just go crazy. But my guy, and I've picked him before, and I'm picking him again, and I did kind of hint at it earlier, Jordan Addison. He's got a good matchup, and he's going to be the number one guy this week, probably. I mean, it's not for sure yet because it's Monday night, but I'm sure he's going to be. And yeah, Hockenson is there, so he'll get some targets. But Addison's going to be the over-the-top guy. He's already good at getting those big shots, big yards. And so I'm going to go with Addison again. This time he's going to come through because now he's got a little more under his belt. I'm going to say he's going to do 135 yards and two touchdowns.
That would be a good week. That is some balls to the wall stuff. All right,
I'm going to jump in next just because. I just wrote down your pick right here, but I have another name written down here before you even said that. It's not Jordan Addison, but I think we're kind of along the lines of the same thinking. So I am going to take a different wide receiver in that same game and actually on that same team. So give me KJ Osborne for 146 yards and one touchdown.
Wow. All right.
They both could do it.
Yeah,
they could both do it.
Battle of the Vikings. So, all right, I'm also picking a wide receiver. By the way, I was thinking about picking Minshew just for the heck of it, but I did not. I decided to go with a guy who's going against the Washington defense, the receiver here, and Washington has been really bad against receivers. And this team has been really bad at throwing the ball. And I wanted to go with somebody who was less percentage rostered. So I could have went with Drake London. But I'm going with Mac Hollins from Atlanta. You heard that right. He is only 0% rostered. He is 0% rostered. You can pick him up right now. He's going to go for 106 yards and a touchdown.
Hey, if you don't want to do this anymore, just say so.
Yeah, you could have said like 54
that is,
yards.
That is balls to the wall right there. That is some balls to the wall stuff right there. So, yeah, Mac Hollins coming at you. There you have it. Another week in the books. Rolling into week six. Are we going to see Taylor Swift? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. Did you see the Kelsey's mom talking about her on Good Morning America?
No, I don't care
like
about
rolling her eyes.
Yeah, it was not a big fan, I guess. Anyway, all right. Until next time, don't be a fool.
Are they still them boys? Still top five, Jesse?